Racing HQ.
Here's On the Pace.
Smolder lifting too strong. Smolder. The Kiwi has won the Endomainian.
But it is all Lazarus clear of Tiger Tara. And once again, Lazarus has arisen.
And On the Pace with Greg Hayes. Morning, Greg.
Good morning to you, Cozzy. Great to be back and looking forward to today's show. We've got a lot to get through. Going to try and squeeze in five guests in this half hour. We'll catch up with Michael Muscat today, who drove his first Group 1 winner at Melton on Saturday night when Vic Sun took out the two-year-old filly's homegrown final. He drove the horse for his father. And both of them were celebrating their first Group 1 win. So we'll have a chat to Mickey about that. Plenty of other guests to come on the show this morning as well. We're going to catch up with Brian Hughes, who is the trainer of the Orange Agent, who was so impressive in winning the Queen of the Pacific at Melton on Saturday night. But the big news is she's coming here to Sydney. She's going to race in a couple of events before she continues on to Queensland. So we're going to have a chat to Brian this morning and find out what path he's going to take with her. He did use Chris Alford for the majority of the time that the mare was in Victoria, but there is some talk that Tony Herlihy has been booked to drive her at Menangle. So we'll have a chat to Brian about that. Also going to chat with Zach Phillips this morning, who drove the winner of the New South Wales Trotters Oaks on Saturday night, driving for Anton Galino. So we'll catch up with him. And we're also going to have a chat with Troy Williams from the Trotting Association. I know Troy was on the show last week telling everyone about that big meeting out at Menangle last Saturday night. We'll just have a chat with him and see how the success of it was. And also Cody Roschenberger, she drove her first winner last night at a meeting at Canberra. And Cody was one of the very talented drivers to come through the mini trots in recent years. I remember speaking with Daryl Jackson on a number of occasions for Trots TV when I was at Harness Racing New South Wales, and Cody's name came up constantly about her ability as a mini trots driver, and she's obviously graduated to the big ponies and is doing a very good job driving her first winner last night at Canberra. So there's a fair bit to get through today. But first up on the show, we're going to have a chat to Michael Muscat, Mickey Muscat, who steered home his first Group 1 winner on Saturday night, and that was at Melton with the final of the homegrown classic for the two-year-old trotting fillies. He was driving a filly named Vic Sun. She's by Flingit out of Summerline, and he's joining me on the show. Morning, Mick.
Morning, Greg.
Mate, congratulations with that victory. That must have been a great thrill.
It was a big thrill, Greg, especially to win
today,
you know.
So you went down for the series, and she was beaten as a short price favourite in the heat. Were you and your dad concerned after that?
No, not at all. She drew one, and Pat's Delight just got it early for speed. And after the run, she had a really good week leading into the final. So we thought if we had a little bit of luck, you know, she was definitely a chance on Saturday night.
You didn't draw as close in the final. Was that a plus? Was she able to balance up in the early stages and then you could move forward?
Honestly, I think she's better off drawing out there. You know, she showed a true gate speed on Saturday night, but hopefully today she's all right out of one and we can hold the lead again.
So what was the feelings like after the race on Saturday night between you and your dad? That must have been a pretty special moment.
Yeah. Can't really say how, you know, happy we were. Just speak through, you know what I mean?
Did you go into the race thinking that you could win?
Yeah, I was real confident. I thought if I had any bit of luck, you know, she's right up to him.
And what's the story with her? How did your dad come to get her?
It was about Christmas time. We're looking on Trading Ring and she was there for sale and she was out of a mare called Summerline, who Jared Ouchen had. She's done a real good job. And Dad just rang up and seen if she was, you know, if he could get her for what he offered. And we're lucky enough, the bloke said yes.
And obviously is eligible to race in a few of the feature races, and that race on Saturday night was perfect for her. You've mentioned that she's racing again today. She's drawn barrier number one. What's the program for her going forward?
I think in about 4 weeks, there's a big spread size on heading back to Melbourne after, you know, in 4 weeks' time.
And what's she like as a filly around the stables? Is she easy to do things with, or is she agitated? What's her makeup like?
Nah, she's pretty cruisy, really. She's no hassle at all.
That's good, mate. Great to see you get a Group 1, because I know you've been close on a few occasions, and I guess sometimes in the back of your mind you're thinking, am I ever going to get there? But you finally broke through for that first one.
Thanks, Greg.
Mate, congratulations, well done, and good luck in the first race at Menangle this afternoon. That race is about 90 minutes away, and Mickey's going to drive Vic's Son in that first race. She's drawn barrier number one, so obviously on the quick backup. But is a pretty talented filly, and she races in a field of four. That's in the two-year-old Trotters Foundation final against Runaway Success, Queen of Clevedon, and also Tulsa Samurai. So good to see the Trotters taking centre stage. That will be race number one on the program. There is a trot in race number three as well. And Troy Williams actually has a couple of runners in that race. He's got Nicholson going around, and also Iona Grinner this afternoon. But I want to have a chat to Troy and speak with him about the success of Saturday night, because the the Trotters Association put a lot into it to ensure that Saturday night was a big success. And that's exactly what happened. So we'll have a chat to Troy in just a moment. As mentioned also on the show this morning, we're going to catch up with Brian Hughes, who is the trainer of the Orange Agent. We'll speak with Cody Rauschenberger, who drove her first winner at Canberra last night, and we're going to speak with Zach Phillips, who drove the New South Wales Trotters Oaks winner on Saturday night. But Troy Williams is joining us on the show to have a chat about Saturday night. Troy, good morning.
G'day, Greg. How are you, mate?
Mate, really well. I was out there on Saturday night. There was plenty of people enjoying what you guys had put on, the Trotting Association. You must be very proud.
Yeah, definitely. It was a great night and a lot of fun had by all. And, you know, we got a few people out to the trots, and a lot of them got to experience a hot lap behind either a trotter or a pacer on the night. And, you know, I think it was a great promotion for overall the sport, but definitely for the Trotters Association to try and grow that particular category.
How is the association coming along in terms of size? You've started off from a small base, but you are starting to grow some momentum with that.
Yeah, definitely. We're growing momentum each week, and the more we market, the more people jump on board, which is fabulous. And also the more horses that are generating and coming to racing in New South Wales as well, Greg. So, you know, all in all, it's going to take time, but it's definitely heading in the right direction.
It's one part of the industry in New South Wales that can definitely be improved, and there is a push from the trainers to really to get some trotters in New South Wales, because there is good money on offer, and it's a chance for trainers to get owners involved into a side of the industry that there is so much good prize money on offer, and a much smaller pool of horses competing for that money.
Yeah, definitely. Look, you know, a lot less horses than there is in the other category with the paces, but it is a growing category, as I said. But, you know, great offer of prize money, you know, annually, and, you know, trainers are getting on board and supporting the cause, and owners are slowly but surely, you know, buying a trotter and having a go at that. So definitely that's what we're trying to encourage, and obviously to put more races on across New South Wales as well. So, you know, we're small steps, but we're getting there, definitely.
And what about Harness Racing New South Wales? They've been very receptive to the association and the suggestions that that the committee are coming up with.
Absolutely. Look, they're backing us all the way. It's been great support from Harness Racing New South Wales, not only with the promotion of the meetings and additional races featured across the cards at different tracks, but also with what's hopefully going to be launched at this stage, if we're ready, by this weekend, our new Trotters documentary to obviously support the Trotters and support the sport. To try and grow that category.
Now that's going to that'll go up on Trots TV at some stage on the web, and we'll try and get a copy of that and run that on In the Gig in the next month or so as well. Very important to promote just that side of the industry and how special it can be. Have you got any plans in the short term as to changes or improvements that you think can be made in New South Wales with the trotters?
Look, I think primarily, our focus is definitely on numbers and more races across the card to cater for all grades, Greg. So, you know, at the moment it's sort of a little bit open in the trotters classes. So we want to try and once we get some more numbers, try and categorise that a bit better to give some more horses a chance in those lower grades as well. But we've also got on the agenda the standing start to try and have a look and see how we improve that particular area to get horses away a lot easier. So, yeah, look, there's a few things on the short-term radar and a long list of stuff on the longer-term one. So, you know, as I said, bit by bit, we'll get there.
And there's also a big trotting night again on Saturday night with the running of the Trotters Derby.
Definitely a huge night again as part of our carnival this weekend. We've got the free-for-all marathon over 2 mile. We've also got the Derby, as you suggested, a Group 1. First time the Derby's actually hit a Group 1 status with 50,000, so that's a great achievement. And then also we've got our Alabar 2-year-old final, Breeders' Final, that pops up on Saturday night as well. And, you know, reasonable numbers across the card, which is great.
You got a couple of runners in this afternoon in race number 3. Can you tell us how they've been going, Nicholson and Iona Grinner?
Yeah, look, they're only just sort of starting to find form again. I haven't been 100% happy with them, but Saturday night they both went very well. I was reasonably happy with Nicholson. He went a PB, and Iona Grinner, she sort of stuck on to run a good fifth. So happy with their sort of the way they're coming back. Taking a little bit longer this preparation, but look, they should be right in the race if they're out of trouble today. And, you know, with any luck, we can earn a check.
All right, Troy, thank you for that, and good luck with the Trotters Association. We'll talk more about it in the future.
Fabulous. Thanks very much for your support, Greg.
There he is, Troy Williams, who's looking after the Trotters Association and doing a very, very good job. And looking forward to that organisation getting bigger and bigger. Obviously, the Trotters in New South Wales is an area that can get bigger. There is good prize money on offer, and there is a lot of support for that gate in the state of New South Wales. As you would have known, if you were listening last week, I wasn't here. Jason Bonington took over and ran the show for me last week while I was in Norway. Spent some time over there having a look at the racing jurisdiction in the world that goes without whips. Obviously, it's going to be interesting times in Australia over the next couple of months as we head towards the date that Harness Racing Australia announced back after the Inter-Dominion last year, that from the 1st of September in 2017, harness racing in Australia would go whip-free. Next Tuesday on In The Gig, we're going to have a special edition of the program where we are going to look at the topic of whips in harness racing. Obviously, I was able to shoot some footage in Norway. I also caught up with a couple of the leading trainers and drivers, also the administrators. And we're going to put those interviews together. We're going to play that. We're also going to have the boss of Harness Racing Australia on. I've spoken with Andrew Kelly. He is keen to come on the show. Jeff Want, there's also some talk that he's going to be on the program as well. So make sure you stay tuned for that. That'll be next Tuesday night on In The Gig from 6 o'clock. In the next week or so, I'll also be releasing some articles via the harness.org.au site as to what I saw. Again, it's not an issue being someone who sits on the sideline and gives their opinion on what's going on out there, and not being a driver myself, having never driven in a race. It's an issue that I think needs to be talked about amongst those who know what they're talking about, and I'm happy to say that as someone who's never driven in a race, it's probably not an issue that I can really talk with any great specialty on. But I did get the chance to go to Norway and see how it works without a whip. So, I basically want to show what happens. People can make up their own minds. Obviously, there's a very strong push from within the industry to keep the whip, and the administrators are obviously pushing away from that. But we'll talk more about that on In The Gig next Tuesday night, and I'll also grab a couple of the interviews that I did conduct in Norway, and we will play them next Tuesday here on the pace as well. We saw a very talented mare take out the big one at Melton on Saturday night. The Queen of the Pacific, Brian Hughes, is her trainer, and he's joining me from New Zealand. Good morning, Brian.
Yeah, morning, Greg. How are you?
Mate, very well, thank you. This mare, she is just something so special.
Yeah, she is a good mare, Greg. Yeah, she is. Yeah.
She was super impressive again on Saturday night. Chris Alford kicked her away from the field, a long way from home, and she was able to hold off her rivals. The good news is for New South Wales listeners this morning is that she's on her way to Sydney.
No, she's coming back to New Zealand first.
Mm-hmm.
But she will be coming over to Sydney, all going, you know, according to plan. But she can get probably another, I think it's approximately about 15 or 17 days at home here, and then fly back to Sydney.
Is she a mare that the racing takes something out of, or does she bounce off those runs pretty well?
Oh, no, I think she bounces off them pretty well. She's never been over raced, so I suppose, she's never had to go week in, week out all the time. Probably these races that she had in Melbourne were the three where she sort of had three in succession, and she seemed to cope with that pretty good. And I don't see any reason why she won't. It's always a different kettle of fish when you start racing, you know, the cream of Australasia, you know, and the town hall company.
Yep.
Most of them have all got to have their favours for them in the run and the race to be able to win them. So, but I don't, you know, I don't think whatever she does, she would disgrace herself in amongst those animals.
So she goes home to New Zealand to have a little bit of a break and then comes back to Australia. Will you do any racing back there at home?
No, probably not. I would say just the way I see it at this stage, there was a fillies and mares race leading into the Lensmith Mile the week before. Just at this stage, that is what we sort of planned on possibly racing and giving her a run on that. Prior to the mile, but if we don't run on that, we'll just give her a trial here and then go straight into the Lensmith Mile.
And then what are the plans after that? Will you look to go to Queensland?
Yeah, at this stage, that's what we intend doing, yes. All going well.
All right, and long term, have you worked out what you're doing later on in the year? Do you target New Zealand's great race, or do you look for other races on the other side of the Tasman?
Just at this stage, I'm one of those sort of people, I don't sort of generally plan too far ahead because I know all the things that can go wrong with them.
Yep.
But, and she's had a few, you know, niggly issues that have gone wrong with her. That's why she's missed most of this season with a... She had a fractured pastern.
Mm-hmm.
But touch wood, that all seems good now. But mainly I would like to think about the New Zealand Cup, yes, after Queensland.
She just, she's unbeaten here in Australia, and she just looks a step above any mare that's currently racing here in Australia and probably over there in New Zealand as well. How long do you go for with her? Are those niggling issues a concern in the back of your head that maybe she's got 12, 18 months left before you think about retiring her, or you're happy?
She'll race as long as nothing majorly goes wrong with her. She'll keep going until the day that sort of really, in a way, that she tells us she's done enough or had enough or something goes wrong, you know. So, she doesn't have any niggly issues at the moment at all.
Right.
She seems perfect. So, really speaking, we've just got to carry on and make hay while the sun shines.
But her last three starts in Victoria, she was driven by Chris Alford on each occasion. What happens when she does come across to Sydney? I saw a tweet out this morning that maybe Tony Hurley might be making the trip across.
He'd come over and drive her over there.
Yep.
And then we'll just work out what happens after that.
Well, it's going to be exciting to see her back here in Australia and especially in Sydney for the Lensmith Mile. And obviously you've just got to work out whether you come for that race beforehand for the fillies and mares. But she was simply sparkling on Saturday night. Congratulations and well done.
Okay, thank you very much, Greg.
There he is, Brian Hughes. He is the trainer of the Orange Agent. She's a filly by American Ideal. She's had 33 starts. She's won 23 of them. She's been placed 6 times. She's she's won the best part of $750,000. And, she destroyed them on Saturday night. It was interesting listening to the call by Dan Malecki and watching the race because if you were listening on the radio, you would have thought there was absolutely no problem. She was braining them and she was racing away. Watching it, Chris Alford, whether he was getting anxious or not, he just he was asking the mare to extend, and she did kick away. She got, you know, a good 10 or 15 metres in front, but then Chris was really at her to make sure that she didn't switch off, and there was some suggestion that she may have done that in the concluding stages, and that's why they finished, you know, I think the winning margin wasn't as great as, what she won by, 6.5 metres. So they got a little bit closer to her. She got home in 27.4. She ran the final two quarters in 28.1 and 27.4. Rockaband, the other Kiwi, ran second. I think it was more of a case of her just looking around and wondering where her opposition were, where the opposition was after Chris Alford kicked away from the 400-metre mark. There was never any doubt she was going to be beaten, but it was interesting watching Chris Alford and his desperation turning for home compared to that of Dan Malecki's call. Now, we're going to have a chat to a man who is having an extremely good run this season. I think that the year 2017 is one that Zach Phillips is never going to forget. He added another feature race to his list of victories when he took out the New South Wales Trotters Oaks, a Group 1 race, on Saturday night at Menangle, when he was driving Un Belle Lure, and she was very good. She had to be, Zach had to gather her together on the home turn when she wanted to get a little bit rough, but Zach was able to do that and then push her up the inside when she proved too strong. Zach's joining us on the show. Morning, Zach.
Yeah, g'day, Greg. Good morning, guys.
Mate, 2017, it has been a tremendous year for you.
Yeah, no, it's been an unreal season. I mean, never driven a Group 1 winner and sort of hadn't had much metropolitan driving exposure, and sort of this year we've sort of been up with the big boys and we've had a lot of luck, and I've had a lot of great support from some really good stables, which has helped a lot.
Let's have a chat about Un Belle Lure on Saturday night. She was victorious. She just speaking with Anton Galino, I just get the feeling that once she works out what she's all about and once she works out how good she is, she's going to go to that next level.
Yeah, I mean, I've always had a pretty big opinion of her. I thought she's up there with Dan Craze, who Anton's always thought was his best three-year-old filly. She's just got that sheer speed for 200 metres and sort of just always has done it so effortlessly, you know. So just got to get her manners a little bit better. Her last couple of starts, she hasn't trotted all that great. But, there's no doubting that the ability's there.
What were you thinking on the turn when she just wanted to get a little bit rough? What were you thinking?
Yeah, well, she's never really showed any signs of roughness except from her last start at Ballarat and then the other night. I actually thought I did lose her on the home turn because she galloped for a stride there. But, to her credit, she got back down and, you know, won like good horses do.
And, you got up the straight in 28.3, even with that little bobble. So she's obviously got an engine there.
Yeah, well, I mean, I didn't even pull the hood. I didn't even turn my whip on her. I don't think I've really ever had to turn my whip or pull the hood on her. That's what I mean. I haven't driven a horse with such raw ability and sheer speed that, you know, you don't even have to ask them to do it. She doesn't even feel like she's sort of trying, you know, so I mean, like I said, there's no doubting the abilities there. Anton's done a great job of just managing her and taking his time with her. And, I think once she gets through her three-year-old year, I really think she'll take the step to open level next year.
It was the second leg of a feature double for you because you won the La Cucaracha earlier on in the night with Glen Ferry Byrne, another mare for Anton Galino. That was an impressive performance.
Yeah, she'd been racing really well down here, just with very little luck. Anton was of the opinion that she's probably better driven with a sit, but, you know, when there didn't look to be a hell of a lot inside us, we decided to press forward and sort of chance our arm. And, to her credit, she went really well. She had to do a fair bit of work though, for 600, but she was still good enough to finish it off.
What's it like driving for Anton Galino and Yabby Dam Farms? Because they are the biggest go in trotting in Australia. Is there added pressure as a result?
Oh, definitely not. I mean, it is a privilege to drive for him and drive some really good horses. But, I mean, you know, you've met Anton and Pat. They're very easygoing characters and, they don't put any pressure on you. As long as you go out there and do your best, they understand that, you know, we make mistakes and, you know, that's just the way it goes. But like I said, they, they never put any pressure on you. You go out there and do your best, and, you know, if you get beat trying, well, so be it. But, yeah, like I said, it's a privilege to drive for them, but, yeah, they're very easy going and great to drive for.
The New South Wales-owned mare that you've had a lot of luck with this season, Red Hot Tooth, she's obviously been a great drive for you as well. What is it with the trotters? Why do you think you've had so much success with the trotters this year?
I think it's just fallen that way, Greg. I mean, I can't really put it down to anything. I mean, those two really nice mares that I drive, Red Hot Tooth and Umbala Lure, they've just come good at the right time. And I think a lot of this game comes down to timing and luck. And I think I've just had that in the last 6 months with those two horses. You know, Red Hot Tooth was a nice 3-year-old, but no star. But I mean, Paul and Curry have done a great job with her, and she's just taken the next step to open class. And, yeah, same with that other filly. She's just got better from a 2-year-old to a 3-year-old. And, like I said, just timing and luck and getting on the right horses at the right time comes down to it.
What happens this weekend? Where are you this week?
Well, I don't think Anton's leaving any of his horses in Sydney for the Derby. Any of his fillies, they'll come back for the Oaks next week, I reckon. So just got a few midweek meetings, and then Ballarat on Friday night, I think it is, with Red Hot Tooth, and then a couple at Melton on Saturday night.
All right, mate. Well, congratulations with the big night on Saturday night. Well done. You're a young driver, speaks very well, handle yourself extremely well in front of the media, and you deserve all the accolades coming your way.
No, I really appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
Well done, mate. Zach Phillips, the young driver who picked up that double on Saturday night, but drives Red Hot Tooth for Graham Bullock, who owns that very good mare, who's a Group 1 winner, took out the Breed for Speed Gold Final earlier in the year. And good to catch up with Zach. So well done to him. And we'll see if we can squeeze in Cody just before we wrap up the show. As mentioned, Menangle on Saturday night, they do have a couple of feature trotting events. We spoke about that with Troy, including the New South Wales Trotters Derby. So looking forward to that one. However, before we tell you more about Saturday night, there was a meeting last night at Canberra, and, well, the first race was won by Bubalaga Road, and Katie Roschenberger drove her first winner. She's come through the mini trots where she's been very, very good, and she's got some great results, and she's joining me on the show. Morning, Katie.
Morning, Greg.
Congratulations with that win last night. That must have been a bit of a thrill for you.
Yeah, it was. Pretty exciting.
Take us through the time in the mini trots. You did have a fair bit of success when you were younger.
Yeah, I did. I got picked to go to New Zealand to represent New South Wales in the kids' cup over there.
And how was that experience?
Yeah, it was really good. Learned a lot over there.
And since you've made the move from the mini trots to working with the bigger horses, how have you found it?
Pretty good. Like, the mini trots helped with the change through the to the big ones.
Yep.
It was pretty easy, really.
And are you working full time in the industry now?
Yes, I'm working for James Gautrey.
And how are you enjoying working full time around the horses?
Yeah, good. It's really better than school.
Are you from Canberra originally?
No, I'm from Boorowa.
Yep.
It's about an hour from Canberra.
Okay, and then so did you do a little bit of your mini trotting driving around Canberra?
Yep. When I moved up there.
Okay.
Started.
And then to win your first race at Canberra, that must have been a little bit special.
Yeah, it was.
Did you think you were driving a winning chance going into the race last night?
Yeah, I thought he had a really good chance.
And he won quite convincingly in the end, didn't he? He raced away to win by more than 10 metres.
Yeah, he did it really easy. He went awesome.
And what was the feeling like when you hit the line as a winner?
It was amazing.
Well, that's great. It's great to hear that you enjoyed that winner last night. There's going to be plenty more for you, and thanks for joining me on the show this morning.
Thank you.
There she is, Katie Roschenberger, a young girl who is just starting out in harness racing. She's been around horses and the mini trots for many, many years. And she got that winner last night with Boobalaga Road. So well done to Cody. And James Rattray has got a very handy worker now working for him. So that just about wraps up the show. As mentioned, big meeting on Saturday night out at Menangle, Sean. They've got 10 races, I think, including that New South Wales Trotters Derby. There's also that Trotters Marathon. That should be a good race. And looking forward to the Breeders' Challenge. That series is underway. And there's plenty more coming up in New South Wales. Of course, we're pushing towards the Len Smith Mile now at the end of June. And the good news is we're going to see that very talented mare, the Orange Agent, here for that.
All righty. Good on you, Greg. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, mate.
Greg Hayes on the pace.